Praise God. Bless your kids as you go out this morning. A few happy little faces this morning on Father's Day, and it's wonderful. Praise God. I want to speak this morning about grace. Our theme for the year is, of course, Amazing Grace. I want to talk about this morning about the grace of fathers. And when you think of the word grace, it's not something you normally would connect necessarily with fathers. You think of grace, you think of a mum, you think of that. But really the heart of grace really comes from a father. It comes from the Father. It comes from God. Colossians 1:2 says, "To the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father." God is the originator of grace, from our Father in heaven. That's where all grace comes from. The source of all grace actually comes from our Father in heaven. So I want to talk about grace. I want to talk about fathers. I want to talk about the grace that comes through the Father, through our Father in heaven, about the grace of fathers. It's important that we honor our Father. The Scripture tells us in Ephesians 6:2, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." And that promise is one of a long life. And hands up if you want a long life. Okay, well then don't smoke. Don't drink. And honor your father. Eat well as well. Honor your father. There's a promise in the Scripture. If you honor your father and your mother. And so I want to talk about honoring our fathers this morning. Now, there really is, if we have a look at the whole area of fatherhood, there really is in our society a heart cry for fathers. In America, less than half the homes have a father in the home. In Australia, it's between 25-30% of the homes don't have a father in their home. And it's very difficult in some families, some circumstances, and a lot of broken families these days, a lot of dysfunctional families, some people that may have two or three fathers effectively, through this stepfather, that one, and so it goes on, and it's very complicated. It can be very difficult for people. But there is a cry in the heart of man for father, for the heart of a father. And it's an interesting story in Genesis 45. We know the story of Joseph. Joseph, who was one with his brothers, and how his brothers didn't like him, became very jealous of Joseph. How they got hold of Joseph and they ripped his multicolored coat off him, threw him in a pit. We're going to not eventually kill him, but Reuben said, "I don't kill him, let's sell him off." They sell him off. He ended up in Potiphar's house. He ended up in the, eventually getting promoted. He went through prison, becomes the highest person in Egypt other than the Pharaoh. An incredible journey that he went through, and he was now put in an incredible place of prominence and authority of the most powerful nation on the earth at the time, one of the richest nations on the earth at that time. And he was Joseph. He was in charge of the whole kit and caboodle. He had all the money that he ever needed, had everything he ever needed in life. He had everything. But deep down, there was one thing that Joseph could not get over. He was hungry for his father. And we know the story how when they came and coming to Joseph, he pretended he didn't know who they were, he hid himself from his brothers. That they didn't know that he was actually Joseph, the brother they'd tried to kill. He actually hid his identity from them, and so they didn't realize that this was Joseph, because they thought Joseph had been gone off to this Midian traders. He could be anywhere. Last thing they thought of is that Joseph was now ruling in Egypt, and he hid himself. But in the whole process of all that he'd gone through, and then all that he had in the end, deep down, there was a yearning for Joseph in Joseph's heart. Every time when the brothers would come to Joseph, he'd ask, "How's my father? How's your father?" Which was his father. He didn't let them know that it was his father he was talking about. He said, "Well, tell me about your father. Is he still alive? Is he well? What's happening with your father?" And there was a cry in Joseph's heart. Genesis 45:9 says, "Now hurry back to my father." This is after he revealed himself and says, "I am Joseph, your brother." And they're all thinking, uh-oh, we are now dead meat, because we tried to kill him and flobbed him off, sold him off, and now he forgives them. But he says, "Hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay." And so someone had such incredible prominence, authority, stature, blessing, provision, everything that he ever wanted. Deep down, the only longing in Joseph's heart was for his dad. That's all that he really wanted. He had everything else. I think Joseph had everything, but what he really wanted, he wanted his father. And there's a cry in the heart of men for this heart of fatherhood, for a father. There's the cry there. He had that. There's a story of this guy, and he was in his 40s. His father was passing away in hospital, and really he was on his deathbed. He was really in his last few days before he died, and I was spending, he spent a lot of time there and just with his father, just waiting for him to die, basically. And he would talk to his father, and he said, you know, the biggest regret in my whole life was that we did not actually have more time to spend with one another. And particularly when I was growing up, Dad, I would have loved to have had you around me more. And the father said, well, you know that I was busy, that I was, I had to work. So I had to work and I had to put food on the table. So, I was working so that you could eat. So that's why I wasn't around. The son never actually said it to his father, but deep down he was saying, Dad, have you only realized how hungry I was for you? And sometimes fathers, they think they have to provide all of these things, but the cry is for the father. And that's a cry in every heart for a father. When we have a Father's Day, Father's Day is not always easy for some people. And it hardly goes out to Lewis, but particularly a close friend of his dropped dead during the week. He'd gone at work at a shift, and Lewis was in Queensland on holidays, got the call. And a guy was working, had been a bit unwell, gone to the hospital. They said, he just got anxiety. Sent him home, was unwell at a shift. He went home, one of the other workers drove him home, followed him home, make sure he got home all right, got home and dropped dead. And for that family, this Father's Day is not going to be, for those children and the grandchildren, not an easy day for them. And for people that have lost their father, maybe for some it's not so easy. Maybe for some that haven't actually grown up with a father, it can be a difficult time. But we do have the promise that we have a father in heaven. But not every father, even for those who have fathers, are perfect fathers. Even in America, some parts there, when they in areas in New York and Bronx, in all of their outreach, they're teaching people, they talk about the Lord's Prayer. They actually say, don't say my father in heaven, they say my grandmother in heaven. For some of them have such a distorted picture of what a father is, that they just can't break through that until they come into an understanding of the real father, the perfect father in heaven. But not every father is perfect. And as we look in Scripture, we realize that there are frailties. And fathers have their frailties. I don't think I'm a perfect father. I'm the best father I can possibly be. And I don't think any father, though, is a perfect father. They are people and they have frailties. And maybe for some that are here, maybe your father wasn't everything perhaps you wanted him to be. But he's the father that God gave you. And it's the father we need to honor. Lord, thank you, Lord, that I was brought into the world by the agency of a father. And even though my father may not have been perfect, we honor our fathers. And it's important that we do that. But the Scripture has many fathers that are good fathers, but those that also weren't so good fathers. We read in Exodus 18, we know the story of Moses. Moses, who led the children of Israel out of the promised land, the mighty man Moses. But he actually separated from his wife and the children, sent his wife and his children away from him. Here he was leading his church of however many millions, 3 million or so people, 600,000 men, about 3 million people in the children of Israel. Moses is looking after them all. So busy looking after all of the people all the time, totally neglected his family. Eventually he sent them away. And then Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, says, buddy, what are you doing? So he says, I'm coming to see you, buddy, and I'm bringing your wife, and I'm bringing your children. And he sorts him out. Not only sorted him out, actually helped him, gave him some wisdom on how to live his life and really what he needed to be doing. But David, the mighty David, a fantastic worshipper, wonderful one, the Scripture says his heart was a man after God's own heart, incredible, wonderful man, David. In a lot of ways as a father, he was not a good father. He failed in some ways. He actually has one situation where he had different wives, and so he had some children that were stepchildren to one another. One of his sons rapes one of his daughters, rapes his daughter. What does he do? He got angry. What did he do? Nothing. Just got a bit angry. Didn't do anything about it. So another brother, because the dad did absolutely nothing, he actually goes and kills his brother off. And then this brother turns against his dad. Absalom runs for his life and then tries to take a terrible dysfunction began to happen because David did not deal with some important issues. Just let it go. He got upset about it, pretty angry, and saw destruction. Almost cost him his kingdom. It was only by the grace of God and God's anointing upon him and calling to that position. He didn't lose the whole kit and caboodle because he failed to deal with the situation. And then you look at Samuel. Samuel was one of the most incredible mighty men of God, one of the first one of the judges a credible prophet of God, a mighty man of God, but what happened to his sons? He had two sons that were crooks. He was this great man of God, but then his children, Joel and Abijah, they were crooks. People would bribe them, and they would usury, they'd lean on people. They were the mafia. They were crooked children that he had. And so even these mighty people maybe have failure in their life in terms of fathers. It's not easy to be a father. And so we've got to be very careful. If you had a father that maybe was not everything that you wanted him to be in some way, just remember that even some of these mighty men of God, they struggled with that a bit too. So be very careful in your judgment of your father. You know, my father, as you know, he ran away from home, but I've got to be really careful how I judge him. And my relationship with him is very good, actually. At the moment, it's very good, and we're really going really well there. I praise God for that. So, but I don't judge him. I honour him. And it's really important. If your father was not everything that you wanted, honour your father. Because even these people, Moses, David, Samuel, well, in some areas of fatherhood, they totally blew it. And we look at them and they're mighty heroes of the faith. And so be careful with your heart towards your father. Keep your heart to your father soft, because nobody's perfect, and fathers do the best they can. And if our fathers failed you in some way, then maybe you need to check your heart towards them. There's a wonderful promise, though, in Psalm 27. It says, verse 10, it says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And some people grow up without even really knowing what it's like to have a father at home, and that can be really difficult for them. And maybe some people have had a father that have shunned them or hurt them or harmed them in some way. But the promise is that even if that does happen, we have a Father in heaven who receives us, who is always there for us. And Father's Day, as much as anything else, is a celebration of our Father in heaven, the one who loves us. And because as good as we are, and if you think we're good dads or whatever, we're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes along the way. We're going to get aggro when we shouldn't have got upset. Whatever it is, but we have a perfect Father in heaven. And Psalm 69, verse 5, it says, is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. What a beautiful thing it is for the Creator of the universe to be our Father. And so there's nobody really without a father, because we have a Father in heaven. Our Lord is our Father. And so we honour him. And so also when we're talking about grace, sometimes it's hard if somebody's in a situation that the grace of God is always beyond that. It is important, the role of a father. But where that is missing, I really believe the grace of God actually comes in there. And he actually ministers that himself. He steps into the role. God doesn't leave his children lacking. And where there's a circumstance where there's a difficulty because the father isn't perhaps around, God himself, he actually makes sure that that role is fulfilled. He fulfills that role. But also I believe he puts a grace even on a mother, that she is able to stand in some of those roles that perhaps aren't natural to her, maybe some roles that aren't really what she feels that she can do. But I believe the grace of God will come upon a mother who has to stand in such a situation, and so that any child in that circumstance is not lacking, because God is a God of grace. His heart goes to all of us, goes to all his children, and so through his grace, he will stand in the gap. He will make sure that that is covered. And so for a mother in that situation, I believe the grace of God's upon your life, that you can stand in that situation and that you can cover that and cover all of those things. And of course, every one of us is called to be a father, to be a spiritual father, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that later, to impart into people. It says in, there's a quote of Billy Graham. He says, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. And so even though for some it's difficult Father's Day, there are fathers who do the very best that they can, and none of us are perfect, but we just really want to honour the fathers who do all that they can. There are some biblical roles as fathers, and we all want to learn to be better fathers. Some of you sitting here, young people, you one day may be a future father, and so you want to learn, okay, well, God, I want to be the best man I can be. I want to be the best father I can be. What are some of the things that the Bible lays out that a father does, and help us to learn to be a better father? Before I look at some of the spiritual roles, I just want to look at some of the practical roles that a father does. We just got a little clip. I just want to honor the fathers for the practical things, but then I want to talk about some of the spiritual things that fathers do. Bless the fathers, bless you for all that you do in many wonderful and practical ways. And there's some of you ladies laughing, you saw the guy cleaning the toilet and said, oh, I wish. But I just really want to honour the fathers and for all that you do in practical ways. But I want to talk a little bit now about some of the spiritual role that we have as fathers. Of all of those roles there, whether it was cleaning the toilet or whatever else that it was doing about, was really looking at the minister role was probably the most important one. I want to talk a little bit about that a little bit later on. So we want to have a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This really lays down really what the heart of a father is. And it's interesting in the scripture, you'll see that even as marriage is designed by God to be a model of the relationship between Christ and the church, it even gives us the Father God is our model of what a father is to be like. Now, all of us are going to fall short of that because none of us are perfect and we're learning and we're growing. But as men, and particularly to the fathers, what are we aspiring to? What is the standard? What are we growing into? The scripture actually demonstrates that for us. And God actually uses that example. And Paul, talking in this passage, actually uses that as the example of what we need to be. It says, 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And so that's the way that Paul said, the way we treated you is like the Father treats you, which is like the Heavenly Father treats you, but to encourage, encouraging. Encouragement is so important to our kids. And even if even as an adult, don't think, oh, my children are growing up now, my children are adults, they don't need the encouragement of their father. If you're 40, if you're 60, if you're 80, you still like the encouragement of your father. And so if your children are all growing up and you think, oh, this is all cute, it is the same. They need that encouragement. Encourage your children. It doesn't matter how old your kids are. If your kids are now grandfathers, even themselves, encourage them. It's an important role. But our children, to encourage them. It's our role as parents is to bring the best out of our children. Not with false praise, but to encourage them. That's so important, to encourage, to comfort. Sometimes, guys, we think all the soppy stuff, that's to the women. We went to this, it was a barbecue with the parents of the other parents involved with basketball, and it was great. You know, we found out some go to church. We had to talk about a whole lot of different things, reaching out to those who weren't involved in that. One of these guys is an ex-footballer. He played 77 games, and I won't say his name because I'm telling you something about him. But an AFL player, and when we were there, Matthew came in, and all the kids are mucking around the backyard, sliced his finger, came, there was blood all over his hand, So he came to me and I said, oh, so I took him and got him a Band-Aid or whatever. And this footballer guy said, oh, it's my kid. I just say, get over it, kid, and off you go. Now, that's probably the AFL footballer coming out. I don't know. But comforting is part of our role of the fathers. You're not teaching your kids to be weak by being tender with your kids. You're actually teaching them to be strong by showing them love and tenderness. And it's part of our role not to be, oh, get over it, kid, because that's just terrible. It's to be comforting and encouraging our kids. That'll make him into a man. You don't want a man that is detached and insensitive. You want him to grow into ones that have an empathy, have a heart for others. So comforting them is so important. And urging them to live lives worthy of God. What a wonderful thing. You know, that we help our children in their formation, in their development. And fathers, don't leave it to the mums. We leave so much to mums and go, oh, you know, she's there, I'm there working. Well, that's not the reality. It's our job is to urge them and lead them in the things of God. And I encourage fathers, you know, none of us are perfect in any of these things, but let's take a step up as fathers at this time. The heart of compassion is so important. And it's interesting, the Lord says the way that we have compassion on our kids is the same way he has compassion on us. It says in Psalm 103:13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And you think, gee whiz, how compassionate am I? Now, it's not conditional on that. God's gracious to us. He's the perfect father who is perfectly compassionate, perfectly gracious to us. But just think for a moment, dads, if God was going to, if, and he's not, he's far above our own failure and weakness, but if God was going to be as compassionate to us as we were compassionate to our own kids, where would we be? Just think about it a moment. But the heart of the father, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Think of the compassion that God has to us. We are worthless wretches in our sin, worthy of nothing at all, and yet he takes us, and by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, he picks us up and he makes us something special. He makes us so special, he actually makes us his own child, that we become a son or a daughter and have a father in heaven. What incredible compassion that is, totally undeserved, something that we are so unworthy of. We don't deserve any of that, yet he has this incredible compassion to us. And so the challenge for us fathers is, well, what is our compassion to our kids? Because as the father, that challenges me to be compassionate with my kids. It's very easy to lose patience with your kids at times. And then that you always bring yourself back and say, hang on, Lord, no, you're very compassionate to me, Lord. And I want to be like you, Father, and let your compassion come through my life. And so we grow in that area of compassion. Another important role of a father is discipline. And there's nothing sadder in a home where a father is not involved in the discipline of the children. In fact, you really get two extremes in a home. You'll get a father who is just totally, not my problem, you sort it out, go ask your mother, nothing to do with me. A father that is just detached and throws it all on the poor mum. And so the poor mum's floundering, trying to bring up the kids, trying to cope with it all, and the father is totally involved. Or the other extreme is where the father, his level of involvement is nuclear war, okay? Nothing, it's been going on for an hour, da-da-da-da, dad's coming, kabam! And all these bodies lying around everywhere. Dad's discipline. And two extremes, and neither of them are the godly one, where father just waits until the anger level gets to such a stage, he cannot handle it anymore, I'm going to have to do something. And that's not good. But the other extreme is, I'm going to go hide in the shed and pretend nothing's happening is no good either. We're actually expected to be the ones for discipline. Hebrews 12:7, it says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by their father? So it's a question saying, it's expected, it's normal, and certainly for men of God in that area of discipline, we've got to rise in that. We actually need to take the lead in that and be very careful how we do that, and we work together with our wife and make sure that we're on the same page. There's nothing worse when there's two sets of standards there and the poor kids don't know whether they're coming or going. Mum says, I can do this. Dad says, I can't. Dad says, I can't do that. Mum says, what do I do? Oh, I'll play one against all the other. So to be united is really important. But fathers, the area of discipline, don't leave it to your wife to do that. Don't make let her be the bad guy and you're the good guy all the time. And we've got to watch that. We've got to watch our own personality. I could probably be the pushover with the kids. But I know, hang on, it's not... My role is to stand and to lead in that area, even though, you know, I'm probably the softy ultimately, but I know my role is I've got to, hang on, no, we've got to make a stand here, this is something that's important, and therefore we work together on it. But don't abdicate it, dads. Discipline is your number one discipliner in the family, not the wife. It's your role, and so I encourage you guys. Not perfect in that, no one's perfect in it, but let's take a step up in that. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool spurns a parent's discipline. You're a young person here today. Listen to this. This verse is just for you today. A fool spurns a parent's discipline. So listen to your parents. It's so important to listen to what our parents... The Bible says you're foolish if you don't listen to that, if you ignore that. But it tells us also how we should discipline. Colossians 3:21, it says, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Because if you explode at your kids, you're totally disengaged until Mount Vesuvius is ready to explode. What it does to the kids is their kids just become devastated. They can become embittered and become discouraged. And well, maybe some of you have experienced that. Well, your challenge for you is to push through that and learn to honor and forgive. We'll talk about that in a moment. But fathers, we've got to be careful with that. Because if we discipline out of anger, we can really... really discourage our kids. And so, again, step up into it. Never discipline in anger. Dads, particularly dads, don't... If you're really, really angry, best to cool off and then deal with it. Don't discipline out of anger, because you can really embitter your children, discourage them, something to grow into. Mark Twain has an interesting quote. He says, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But by the time I got to 21, I was astonished at how much he'd learned in 7 years. Isn't that typical? When you're a teenager, you think your parents, they're from another planet. They don't know anything. They don't understand. And Mark Twain said he was like that, 14. And when he's 21, he thought, gee whiz, they're so wise. And they learned so much in such a short time. And so young people, particularly, honour your parents. You may think you know more than them and they don't understand. But look, they've lived life. And there is a grace of God upon them. There's a grace that comes. They're godly parents who love the Lord. There is a grace and a wisdom that they can tap into from God. So listen to your parents. Don't be a fool and spurn their discipline. Don't think you know everything. Because when you look back, you suddenly think, yeah, gee whiz. And you learn a lot. So just watch that. But fathers, we need to discipline in that way. Also, as grandparents too. You've got to be careful when you, as a grandparent, disciplining your other children, your grandchildren. You obviously got to work with the parents. Nothing worse than a grandparent is disciplining in such a way the parents don't like, because immediately you're going to put a wedge between you. So just be sensitive to that. But to be a spiritual leader of the home, I think that's the most important role for us guys, for us dads. And that's for grandparents as well, particularly if your kids aren't going on after the Lord. And that's not a criticism of you. What happened to Samuel? Okay. And because ultimately everyone makes their own choice. But if, for example, you've got children that aren't going after the Lord with a passion following, but you've got grandchildren, and as a grandfather, you've really got to step into that role. And that mandate of God is upon you. The grace of God's upon you to do that, but you need to stand in that for the sake of your grandchildren. And even as they're touched in the things of God, we just pray that your own children, if they're not going on with God, will be touched. But the role of a spiritual leader is so important. Ephesians 6 says, verse 4, fathers, do not exacerbate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And you saw that little picture on that clip, the guy there with the Bible and his kids. And fathers, can I say, you cannot neglect that. It's so important. We pray with our kids every single day. Every day we pray with our kids, and we do that. It's so important to do that. There's no excuse, you know, I've got to go to work or whatever. Do it at 7 o'clock in the morning if you have to. Your kids will be up. Don't worry about that. Our kids, we have to chain them to the bed, staple them down. You're not getting up before 7 o'clock, kids. Stay there. And if your kids are late or you work early or whatever shifts, do it at night time. But don't neglect that. It's so important that you are the spiritual leader in your home. And don't allow or cause or force the poor mother to have to take that role. It's soul-destroying in a home where you've got a mother and a father, and the mother's really passionate against the things of God, and the guy's just sort of tacking along, hanging in there. And she has to be the one trying to set the spiritual tone of the home. It's unfair to do that to a woman when she's called to be with her husband, together ministering, but the father is actually called to take the lead in that. That's what the scripture, when it says about wives submit to your husband and how the husband is the head of the wife. The word head there means to lead as one who leads into battle. It's nothing to do with being the dictator in the home. Nothing to do about, oh, I'm the man, I'm the boss. Nothing to do with that at all. The word means you lead first in the battle. So you put your body on the line before anyone else. That's what it means. And so it's not a position of putting down and pushing down a woman or your wife. It's you actually, you're the first in the battle. You're the first one, you're in the front line. If any bullets are going to go, you're ready, you're the man. You take the bullet. It means to lead in the home. And so don't neglect that, fathers, to spend that time and to teach and bring your children up in the ways of God. And they follow us, every little example. Caleb gave me this little thing from Father's Day. Look, Caleb's just turned 8. Look how big his feet are. I thought, man, that looks like my feet. He's just turned 8 a couple of months ago. And man, they're actually a print of his feet. I thought, man, watch out, Goliath. And anyway, but this is a great little poem that's here. It says, "Walk a little slower, Daddy," said a child so small. "I'm following in your footsteps and I don't want to fall. Sometimes your steps are very fast. Sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little slower, Daddy, for you are leading me. Someday when I'm grown up, you're what I want to be. Then I'll have a little child who'll want to follow me. I'd want to lead just right, and I know that I was true. So walk a little slower, Daddy, for I must follow you." I thought it was a very powerful little poem, and just because our kids do watch us. The kind of husband our children will be depends on the kind of father we are. The kind of wife that your daughter will be depends on how you are as a husband. It makes such a huge difference in the home as they look at that in terms of how things go for marriage. A whole lot of things will happen, and our father, as a father, our kids are watching us. So men, again, we're not perfect, but we just say, no, I'm going to step up as a father on this day. I'm going to determine, I'm going to be a better father. I'm not a perfect father, but I'm going to be a better father. And that needs to be our heart. The other part of a father which really touches me is the heart of forgiveness in a father. Well, again, we always think of mothers, they're so easily to overcome and forgive, but that's a part of the father heart of God, that he's forgiven us of so many things. Just think this week, all of the things that you've done this week, just gone, maybe you did yesterday, the day before, but this week, all the things that you've done this week that God really has to forgive you for. Probably quite a few things. I don't want to, not here to condemn you or hang it on you, but you just think for a moment, God is always forgiving us, constantly gracious towards us. That's the part of the Father's heart, our Heavenly Father. His heart is always there forgiving us. And I'm so touched by the story when we read the story of the prodigal son. You know the story, how the son went to his father, demanded his inheritance. His father wasn't even dead yet, but anyway, he divided it up. He said, okay, son, off you go. The kid goes off and squanders it and prostitutes and living in this big sty and whatever else, does squanders everything. And then he comes back to his father. And the story is, as you know, the father there, he actually is waiting and he sees his son from a long way off. And I believe that the father is actually every day there crying out and praying, Lord, send my son home to me, send me home. I don't think it was just coincidental he had to be walking around and standing at that place at the same time. I think every day he's there crying out and his heart was always ready for his son. And then one day he sees his son coming and from a long way off, his father, an old man, drops his dignity, drops his staff, just sprints full on, headlong down, running to his son and throws his arm around us. And fathers, we've got to be really have that heart of forgiving. So important. And maybe some people here today have got something even against your own father. And can I encourage you, don't allow anything. Maybe your father was brought up in a generation where you don't say sorry. And there was a whole generation. Some nationalities, they're brought up and you never say sorry, you never soften. And it's hard for them to forgive. They've actually been taught the opposite of that. But if we're men of God, if we're people of God, that heart of forgiveness, and if there's some tension or estrangement between you and your father today, I encourage you to do something about it. It's not godly to leave it there, because the Father's heart is a forgiving heart. And even if it's towards your own father, maybe some things that were very painful, very difficult, to release it and say, yeah, Lord, well, I'm not perfect, and yeah, they were probably less than perfect, but Lord, I release that, Lord, and I forgive my father. Don't allow there to be a separation in your own life with your own father. So important, and particularly for men, as you get older, it is so important that you don't have issues of unforgiveness against your own natural father, because it will affect you in many ways. So it's important that you deal with that. But have a forgiving heart, and to be like the one that runs to that. And maybe your father's not capable of running. Maybe he's not a godly man, or maybe whatever his own weaknesses and frailties are. So you, as the man of God, maybe you need to run to him. But whatever happens, let there be that restoration. But fathers, forgive our sons, and if there's a separation, see yourself as the father, see your son as the prodigal, and saying, well, I'm going to run there. It's an interesting quote from Charles Wordsworth, who's a very famous musician. He says, by the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he is wrong. It takes a while before we sort of realize. You know, sometimes as kids, as young people, young adults, you feel like you're fighting against them sometimes and in some ways. But it's when you're older, you look back and think, oh yeah, maybe now I really do appreciate. Because it's not easy being a dad. And if our dad was less than perfect, it's not easy. It was no easier for them than it is for you. And so have that heart of restoration, of forgiveness. Let it be there. One of the other roles of a father, and quite often if you ask people, what is the role of a father? This is normally the number one thing they say, but I certainly don't see it as the most important thing, but it is an important thing. And that's the area of provision and protecting the family is so important as well. In fact, a recent survey, it was in The Sun during the week, they surveyed all these teenagers and said, what is the most important thing you admire about your dad? You admire in him. And they said, his work ethic. And so all of that is admired and it is important. But in that, make sure we don't neglect the family. Again, there's extremes in all of these things. It says in 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Strong scripture. If anyone doesn't provide for his relatives, especially his immediate family, he has denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. And so for someone who doesn't care or just wants to know, I'm going to stay home and watch TV all day, not interested in trying to find a job, some people find it very difficult to find work and they're trying hard and God will bless them as they're faithful in that. But it's a heart that doesn't even want to try, doesn't really want to care. And it's saying that that's a bad extreme. But the other extreme is where everything is about generating money and wealth and whatever else. Or maybe it's hiding in your job. Some fathers will hide in their work because they don't have to relate while they're at work. That's the other extreme. And so we've got to watch that, fathers, that we've got to make sure that we provide. But ultimately, what they're hungry for, they're hungry for you. Don't wait till your deathbed and the son or daughter is saying, Dad, thanks for all the things. Thanks for the new car you bought me when I turned 21. Wonderful. Thanks for the lovely house. Thanks for all of that. But deep down, what I wanted was you. And so let's keep that in balance. There's a provision that they really want us as fathers. Probably one of the most important roles that I see in the father is the one of blessing our children. And it's something that is so important. And even if your children are older, you may never have done that. You may never have actually blessed your kids with it, or maybe when they're younger. But blessing our kids is so important. They certainly understand. And fathers, we need to stand in that blessing of our children. Genesis 37, this is the story where you have Jacob and you have Esau and you have Isaac the father. And Jacob, because of his mum, his manipulative mother, works out this little scheme to rob Esau of his birthright as the first son, but which would give him a double portion, but also the blessing that would come to the firstborn son. So his mother cooks up this little scheme, literally with his stew, and cooks up this scheme so that Jacob goes to his father, and he pretends he's Esau, and Esau, who's blind and whatever, but Esau was a hairy man, so they put all these sheep, goats, sheep and goats and whatever made him really hairy. He must have been pretty hairy if you think a goat is your son, wouldn't you? Anyway, so he did all of that, this hairy son, and he can't see. He goes, you don't sound like Jacob, because I've got a bit of a frog in my throat and whatever. And so he blessed him. Then Esau comes back, goes off hunting, brings his father his favorite food. Happy Father's Day. Here's a couple of mandrakes. I went and killed them for you. And I want the blessing now. His dad says, hang on, who are you? He says, what do you mean? I'm Esau. I'm your son. He goes, I just blessed Esau. He actually, the blessing went to Jacob. And then the anguish that was in the heart of Esau, the worst possible thing that could have happened to him in his entire life was not to have that blessing of a father upon his life. And so when Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me. Me too, my father. Well, the father did bless him, but that blessing of the firstborn had been reserved, had already been taken and gone to Jacob. But that heart of blessing is so important. We have a heavenly father that always wants to bless us. And again, if there's a situation in the home where the father's not around or whatever, then the mother has to stand in that role and under the heavenly father to bring that blessing, because there's an impartation upon the lives of our children, a spiritual impartation that happens when we bless our children. And we cannot shirk that men to do that. And it also applies to grandfathers as well. There's this story when Jacob, when he now is old after he's already been blessed, he comes to the stage, he's about to die. Firstly, before even he does the final blessing on his own children, his grandkids are brought in. And so actually, the grandkids actually lays hands on the grandkids, and he imparts an incredible prophetic destiny, a blessing upon their lives. And fathers, don't underestimate how important that is. When I was 8 years of age, that's when I had a really bad headache, and my father, he laid hands upon me, and he blessed me when I was 8. And at that time, I believe there was an impartation. He prophesied about call of ministry, all of those things. There was an impartation into my life when I was 8 years of age, and I really praise God for that. And I'm living and growing and learning in more of those things, but it's so important to do that. Bless your kids. If you haven't done that, do it. Get your kids, lay hand on them, and say, I just want to bless you. Bless your children, pray on them, speak over their lives. Do that over your grandchildren. We bless our kids every single night. Every single night when our kids, before we go to bed, we pray with them, we lay hands on them, and I bless and I speak over a destiny over their lives every single night, every night, to do that, to have that impartation upon their lives. I don't want them to be anything I want them to be. I want them to be everything God wants them to be. And so I'm not trying to make them anything that God doesn't want them to be. But I just have a sense in God, and I just bless them, speak that over them every single night. And it's important to do that. And so even as they get older, you still do that. You pray, say, well, bless them. Let them be a man of God. Let them be called. And to speak that over our children. Men, this is something we can all step up in. As I said, none of us are perfect fathers. Moses was not the perfect dad. David wasn't the perfect dad. Samuel wasn't the perfect dad. And so we can never condemn ourselves for our failures. And we can never condemn our parents for their failures, because they're human too. But what we can do is say, okay, on a Father's Day, I want to step up what it is to be a father and do many things. We give so much, but I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better father. And I trust that's the heart of everyone here. And we certainly have a Father in heaven that blesses us. Maybe the own natural father is not around, but come to the Father, your own father. Your natural father's passed away and said, well, he never blessed me. That's okay. You have a Father in heaven who is ready and wants to bless you in this way. He blesses you in many ways. He's blessed us with salvation. He's blessed us in many things. And say, Father, well, I never had that blessing. Or my father was not even in a place where he could do that. Well, then I'd go on my knees and say, Father, I'm coming to you, my Father, to receive my blessing. Lord, I want you to bless me. Even as a father would lay hands on his son, I want you in heaven to lay you a hand on me. I want the blessing of a father. I want the affirmation of a father in my life. And you can go to God in such a way, and God will bless you. But if you are a father here, I encourage you to bless your children. Bless them. Don't neglect that responsibility. If children, if they're estranged from you for whatever reason, they're saying, well, if I'm going to lay hands on them, they're just going to run away, they're going to think I'm going to hit them, or whatever, it's not going to work. And just pray it over them. Excuse me. Every day, pray it over them. Pronounce the blessing over them. If they're not, they're living in another country, and maybe they don't want anything to do with you anymore, or don't have anything to do with you. There's a separation that's come. Well, Scripture says, do everything you can do. But I'd be in there, I'd be praying. Pray the blessing over them. Pray it every night. Pray the blessing over your children. It's so important that Esau, he was bitter when he thought, I don't get what it. But we can have that from our father. But fathers that are here, let's raise up in that. Bless our kids, affirm them, is so important. And finally, as we're talking about fathers, and just before we go, I just really want to honour spiritual fathers. And there are homes where there isn't a father. And so don't underestimate the role model you are to other people as a godly father. Not a perfect father, but as a godly father, don't underestimate that. Because people will be looking at you, looking at your life. And certainly those who don't have a father around the home, you can be like a dad to them. I know Pastor John is like a real spiritual father in the house here. And it's important that we rise as spiritual fathers and to honour them. It says in 2 Timothy 2:1, it says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How many my sons do you have that aren't your own sons? In other words, how many spiritual children are you raising up? Are you encouraging other people? You see the other young people. You know, you come, if there's a youth service on, you might think, oh, well, I don't like the music. Who cares? It's not about you anyway. You don't never go to church because of you. You always go to church before God. The music's got nothing to do with it. You worship God. Whether you get anything out of worship or not, nothing to do. It's not about you. Worship's not about you in any way. It's entirely about Him. It's about us giving to Him. If you get nothing out of worship, too bad. That's not the point. He gets everything from us out of worship. But if we give Him everything, we get everything anyway. But as a father, let's stand, let's rise. Let's just get all the men to stand, first of all. I just want to pray for the fathers, those that are fathers. And so if you want to stand up, if you're a father. And I want to pray for the fathers, and then I'm going to pray for all the men, because some of you are future fathers, you're not fathers yet. But I want to pray for those that are fathers, and it's not about us. So come along, encourage the young ones. If there's a youth service, come along and be like a dad. Get around them and encourage them. Means everything to them. Sometimes the kids, they look there and they go, oh, where are the adults? Well, be a father to them. Be there for them. A kid wants their father to be there. The kids have got a basketball game, they've got a soccer match, they've got whatever. Christian were there and saw Elijah get his little gold medal, well done, on during the week. But they want you to be there when you can be. You can't be at everything, you can't be all there all the time, but they want you there. And the kids in the church, they want men, they want you there because you're like a spiritual dad to them. But I want to pray for the fathers. Fathers, we just come, Father, we come before you. Father, I just pray, Lord, for these men that are standing as fathers, first of all. Father, we're not perfect fathers. We understand that, Lord. And Father, we just look at the fathers in the Bible, Lord, that maybe they failed in many ways, and we fail at ways too, Father. But Lord, we just stand before you now. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, the heart of every father that is here today, Lord, is our desire is to be a better dad, to be a better father, Lord, to be a better grandfather. Lord, as we stand in that position, Lord, that you've anointed and pointed us to, we want to step up in that, Lord. We want to be a better father, Lord. We want to be a better man. And so, Father, I just pray for all the men that are standing here now, Lord, that are fathers. Lord, I pray that you just lift them up, Lord, into that realm. The rest of the father, let's rest of the men, just stand up if you're a male. Rest of the men, if you're 13, if you're 500, stand up. If you're 500, that's a miracle. But just stand up. Father, I just pray, Lord, for all the other men as they stand, Lord, and for all the men as they're standing. Father, I pray, Lord, that they will stand, Lord, as spiritual fathers in the house. Father, they'll encourage those, Lord, who maybe don't have a natural father around, Father, but, Lord, they'll get alongside and encourage, Lord. They'll affirm and lift them up, Lord, and encourage, Father. Let us stand as spiritual fathers in your house, Lord, that there'll be others who say, we can say, my son, Lord, because they treat us like a father, Lord. We respond to them in such a way, Father. Help us to stand in that high calling. If our children are growing up, Lord, and they're off the scene, Father, Lord, let us stand then as a spiritual father. Lord, for those who don't even have kids of their own, Father, let them learn to stand as a spiritual father and to begin to honour and encourage those that are younger. Father, for the potential fathers, Lord, that one day will grow up, Lord, or one day that will have a family, I pray, Lord, for godly wisdom to be imparted into every life, even now, Father, in Jesus' name. And the rest of us, let's just stand. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're the Father that brings blessing, you bring impartation into our lives. And Father, I pray, Lord, for all those, Lord, who may find this a difficult day, Lord, that they'll stand before the Father, the perfect Father, the Heavenly Father. And Lord, that they will come before you, Lord, and cry out and say, yes, Lord, I want your blessing, Lord. I'm presenting myself for the blessing that the Father will come, Lord. And I pray, Lord, people will see profound things happen in their lives when they do that, Lord, to know the blessing of the Father in heaven. And Father, I pray now for your blessing upon each of us, Lord. We're all your children, Lord. Lord, we're not perfect children, but you are the perfect Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you forgive us time and time again. Lord, that you're gracious to us. Lord, your grace is amazing. And Lord, we just want to honor you this day. Lord, we want to celebrate you, Father. Lord, every day is Father's Day, Lord, in the kingdom of God, Lord, because every day is under you, Lord, our Father. And so, Lord, we honor you this day. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've accepted us, Lord. And if there's anyone that's here today, Lord, who doesn't know what it is to have you as their Father, to know Jesus Christ, Lord, to come into relationship because of what Jesus did, Father, I pray, Lord, they'll come to know you as their Father today. But, Lord, we want to honor you. We want to honor you, the perfect Father, who's always there, who never fails us, who never leaves us, who never forsakes us. Lord, who always understands us. Lord, we just thank you, Father. Lord, let us grow with a deeper love for you, the wonderful Father. We love you so much. We love you, Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's, as we close this morning...